hold on to your butts, it's time for a new episode of Destroy All Culture, a sonic death ray from Dimension X that sounds exactly like a weekly podcast hosted by Adam P. Nave and Aiden Morgan. Exposure to Destroy All Culture is 100% fatal, so we put it on the internet. Now listen and die! Lethal effects may take up to 75 years. And it's episode 199 of Destroy All Culture. I'm Adam P. Nave. With me as always is Aiden Morgan.
Ahoy, ahoy.
Hoy. Good lord, 199 of these. And like, I don't know, like what, 250 of the last one? We've been doing this for way too long.
Way too long.
And we're still enjoying it, so hey.
Yes. I don't know if the people who listen are enjoying it, but we
I understand that we live in a culture where everyone has a podcast. People are like, oh, everyone has a podcast, and you know, da da. But like, I kind of enjoy the fact that we have a podcast that we literally don't give a shit if anyone listens to.
No.
Like, I mean, I'm happy Frank does. You know, that's great.
Yeah, thank you.
I have, like, one or two other people I know who have listened to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just kind of nice that the zero pressure. We're just doing this so we have an excuse to talk once a week.
Yep, exactly. Oh, my brother-in-law. He listens from time to time. So, Jay. Oh,
well, nice shout-out to him.
Shout-out to Jay. Listen to our podcast from time
to
time.
Hey, Jay. Thank you. We appreciate you. So a little bit of news at the top of the hour. What do you say?
Yes, I was just gonna say I've been watching some as I do sometimes some gamers on YouTube, and sometimes you get like people who just game on YouTube, but sometimes you get like you know Twitch streams that they've recorded and put up, and the experience of one and the other is really different because of course when they're on Twitch they're actually in active conversation with the people. With their audience, so they're always stopping to talk to people as they go, and they're like, and they're always saying, "Hey, thanks for the gift sub, so and so," and they have like little sort of like bells or whistles or whatever.
Of course.
And it's kind of, on the one hand, it's kind of annoying because I just want them to play the game, but on the other hand, you get this genuine feeling of actual community, but you don't have to be there for it. You just watch it happen secondhand.
Right. It is. It's kind of nice. It's I think, like, that sort of thing. Like, I don't do video games specifically, but that sort of... I mean, I have, like, that sort of interactive screen where, like, you don't have to participate. There's no anything. It's just... It's already recorded. It's already done. Might be my favorite new model of, like, reality TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, there's no plot. It's just... You're just watching someone do a thing and then watching some other people comment on it. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm sure they'll figure out how to like involve you by like unwittingly staging the entire sort of YouTube channel like in your bathroom or something.
Well, I'm just waiting for networks to start airing it.
Oh God, that'll happen. Eventually, that's
right. I'm just saying, like, it's the new form of reality TV. It's even cheaper.
Yeah. Exactly. So,
but anyway, the random bits of new stuff. Let's see. Raised by Wolves is getting a second season.
Okay.
Harley Quinn officially got its third season.
Ooh.
Once again, and I say once again because this is the actual roadmap now, kind of. As of, I think, December or January, I forget which, right, the second, DC Universe Online will become DC Universe Infinite and will move to just comic books. They're removing all the video content.
Mm-hmm.
Which is important for a reason I'll mention in a minute. But all the original content, and please note that, is moving to HBO Max. And they very specifically said original content because HBO Max might not have the rights, just because of the way this stuff works, to air all the stuff that DC Universe had, which is a shame.
Oh.
Because, like, the old Fleischer cartoons, the old, you know, Wonder Woman stuff, we don't know how much of that's moving.
Right.
The reason that the DC Infinite thing is important that they remove all the video content is they could not offer it internationally because of various rights packages.
Hmm.
Now that it's just video, now that it's just going to be comics content, like Marvel Unlimited, they can offer it internationally.
Oh, maybe that's for the Infinite.
Not in the US.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like $7 or $10 a month, I think. But if you get it, you can add HBO Max for $5 a month, and it ends up being like cheaper than having both services were.
Oh, not bad.
Yeah. Like, I have a subscription to HBO Max. I think it's like a year subscription, and my subscription to DC Infinite whatever is going to run out. And I don't really use it yet because I'm still kind of moving the digital comics. But it's one of those, like, I could see myself, like, eventually backing into that deal.
It's just, the comics reader on DC Universe is so terrible. Like, the reader itself is fine, but the search is so bad.
You know, I'm not surprised. I just, like, often I find iterations of these kinds of services to be really borked in one fashion or another, so...
Yeah. The selection is fantastic. And it will do, like, Marvel Universe, the Marvel Online, whatever the hell they call it, Unlimited, that's it, it's Marvel Unlimited, where all new books that are released will come by 6 months later.
Oh, nice.
So if you're willing to be patient, okay, you can just read, like, you can get Marvel Unlimited. I think it's, like, again, like, 10-odd bucks a month. And DC Universe, Online Infinite, or whatever the hell it's going to end up called, probably for, like, 20-odd bucks a month, and then you can read everything Marvel and DC do just 6 months late. It's, you know, not a bad deal when you think about it that way.
That is not too bad.
If you're willing to be patient.
Yeah.
So, you know, something to think about. Anyway, yeah, the Harley news is fantastic. I am not shocked. But you know my favorite part of this is, and I actually mentioned this to Frank the other day, my favorite part of them moving all the originals over.
Go ahead.
When they moved Harley over, suddenly, because, I mean, no one really subscribed to DC Universe, right? Like, there were very few of us, comparatively, to something like HBO Max. So when they moved Harley over, all of a sudden, everyone watched it, right? And word spread, this is a great show, oh my god. Then they moved Doom Patrol over, and suddenly everyone could watch Doom Patrol, and oh my god, I cannot wait until everyone's forced to watch Titans. Like, I feel like this move guarantees the third season of Titans is the last.
People be like, wait, what the hell is this?
Right. Oh. It's going to be kind of amazing to watch happen.
That is going to be worth a chuckle. But we are getting a third season of Titans, so...
We are, and I will watch it just like I watched the first two and strangely enjoy it, even though I don't enjoy the show much. I don't know how this works.
Yeah, I know. And I gotta say, I really enjoyed one episode midway through the second season.
Yes.
So, that's the one with Superboy fighting in the,
right, no, yeah. That was the best episode they've done.
Yeah.
And again, like, I really enjoy it for the Dick Grayson of it all.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Like, the storyline is interesting. It's just they're doing it badly, like everything else they do.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
What, anyway?
Let's see. What else happened this week? Oh, there was... well, we didn't talk last week, so there have been two episodes of The Boys.
Two of them. Two of all the Boise content you could possibly want.
Right, and it's still an absolute, like, it's a show that I kind of enjoy watching and refuse to ever, like, suggest to anyone. Right. Because, again, I think it just strays into to mean for mean's sake for no reason and blurs its own message way too often.
Yeah, I find it hard to pin down, although it shouldn't be hard to pin down. But yeah, like as we said in the last time we talked about it, is that it's dealing with you know, the encroachment of fascism, racism, and it's how it's wedded to corporate culture in America and entertainment. But it just refuses to deal with it responsibly, and refuses to deal with it.
They're just kind of going like, here's this thing, and they're not discussing it. They're not using it as story fodder. They're just going, here's this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine, but it is also irresponsible. It is also kind of weak.
It is, yes, exactly.
You know?
But they're, on the plus side, they had a joke in the last episode that just about had me on the floor. It was so kind of mean and funny.
Was this terror?
No. No, it was not.
Okay.
Well, we can ask about that. It was the... When they're filming their latest, I think, Dawn of the Seven or whatever it is, and Maeve is coming out on camera, and it's this ridiculous, like, horribly written, horribly done scene, and then
it sounded like that CSI tech show.
Yes, it actually did. That's actually kind of, and well, and the and the young sort of. Badass lesbian hacker character.
Right.
Yeah, who actually reminded me more than anybody else when I swear, the first moment I saw her, my brain went, Kenzie? And I was like, well, obviously not, but Kenzie? At any rate. And then they leave, then they leave the set, and Homelander is watching the footage and goes, wow, that Joss rewrite really sings, doesn't it? And I was, yeah. Like, wow, no, that's mean.
My favorite thing was that they brought in Terror again. That we actually get Terror. In the comics, you know, Terror is kind of there a lot more.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, the dog, of course, just will fuck whatever you tell it to. But if you noticed, there is no footage of the dog actually fucking anything.
There's just audio.
There is a reason for this.
Oh.
Believe it or not, like, Kripke actually did an interview about this because people were like, wait, why would you? So apparently they got this dog based on its ability to fuck things on command.
Oh my god, really?
And it turned out that the dog was a complete diva. Like, the shots of him walking with Butcher, like, you'll notice that it's just, like, a lot of times it's the dog and some boots. Mm-hmm. And there's, like, one wide shot because the dog refused to walk with him.
Oh.
So whenever you see the close-up, it's his trainer. But also the dog refused to fuck on command, which was why they hired the dog. And they got so frustrated, they eventually just did this because they were running out of time.
I did not know this.
Like I said, it made the whole thing funnier, like, in retrospect. I was just like, this is the only show I could think of where, like, well, we had to hire a dog that fucks on command, and it wouldn't!
Damn, I thought they had a unicorn, but oh well. That's, sorry, yeah. I just thought it was completely funny just to, like hear the audio of the dog fucking that Homelander doll off.
Right, I actually think it works out funnier than if they had gotten footage of it. Like, footage of it, again, like, this is the show's problem. They don't know what they have. You know what I mean? Like, footage of just a dog fucking a stuffed toy, not funny. Cutting away and having the sound of it, actually funny.
Exactly.
Yeah. But we've also had two episodes of Lovecraft Country.
Two of them as well.
And I have watched neither.
Well, you enjoy watching or not watching it. So what do you think? Will you be watching them?
I don't know. Here's the thing, is I really like the book.
Mm-hmm.
But the more I watch the show, and you know, the show's dedication to doing kind of what the book did, which is deconstructing all of the different horror tropes that exist, that love, especially the ones that Lovecraft dealt with, and dealing with them from, like, an honest view, not a weird Lovecraft racist view, is fascinating. But I realized when I went to go watch the whatever episode number it was, two episodes back, that I remembered in a weird way that I don't really actually like horror movies.
Oh, okay.
I don't tend to watch them. It's not like they freak me out. I just don't tend to care.
Mm-hmm.
It for some reason in my brain it tends to detract from everything else going on because it's always structured to kind of be this shocking moment, so it's all quietly hinged around this thing that I just can't get involved in. Huh. It just doesn't work for me, so I just don't watch many horror movies. I don't watch many horror TV shows. I just don't care. I don't read much horror fiction either, frankly.
No,
I used to write horror fiction, but that's a different problem. And yeah, like, I'll watch, like, funny stuff, you know, like, funny horror stuff, because the balance is different, and they tend to have the funny and lean into it. But for some reason, most horror fiction just doesn't work on me. It just doesn't work for my head.
Mm-hmm.
In that sense, it doesn't engage me.
Right. Oh, I get you.
And so I kind of, like, I don't know if I want to bother, like, I love the actors, I love the work that they're doing in Lovecraft Country, but it's still, I hold it at a remove, and I'm just like, I don't know if I want to spend hours, you know, watching the show, that I'm just like, eh. So much of it's really well done, but it's just, you know, so who knows? I don't know if I'm going to be watching it or not.
Fair enough. I'll still be watching. I'll be keeping up with the old Lovecraft Country of it all.
Nice.
I think, although, I mean, you probably heard some of the backlash to episode four. And I think it's deserved. It was a very, for a couple of reasons. One, the actual sort of, weirdly sort of transphobic, or rather a character who is intersex, is sort of greeted with horror. And it's like, that seems kind of cheap.
Especially if they don't deal with that moment, given what everything else the show does.
Exactly. Yeah, just this seems to be... I'd seen people on Twitter going, ah, this sucks. And I was like, well, it can't be that bad. But it was weird. It was just kind of like, you really? It's like, why would you have a show that is ostensibly about like reclaiming and reconstituting the other, and then just basically use an intersex body for like cheap shock value? And ooh, isn't it weirdness? I thought that was a bit of a blind spot.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It probably was just one of those things of like so caught up in dealing with the stuff that they are dealing with that it's easy to miss something else. And that's okay, except when your purpose is to not miss something else, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, anyway, and also the episode was... I think it was going for like Indiana Jones type stuff, but it often felt more like the Goonies. So I had trouble just taking some of the episodes seriously all on its own.
Right.
And episode 5 was really quite something. It was very sort of intense body horror stuff. I don't want to spoil it too much in case you decide back on the train. But it fell squarely into that category of like really good entertainment that I never actually want to have to see again.
Right.
Because I was like,
it was only a matter of time till they got to the body horror part, right?
Yeah, yeah. So.
And then the other thing is like a lot of body horror, like just, I don't know. It not that it like it probably is the closest thing to like just squicking me.
right.
So it does not also, you know, having the two episodes that I haven't seen be like, well, one's gonna be something I really don't want to see, and the other's gonna be involved in something I really don't want to see, doesn't make me really committed to catching up.
But it's a really sort of, it's still a striking and like I think vital show. Just man, sure. Oh man, I just number 4 was disappointing, and number 5 I was just like, holy shit.
Yeah,
and it was directed by, and I cannot remember the director's name, but she's a well known queer black director. She had some independent 90s black lesbian films, like The Watermelon Women, or Woman, I should say, which I saw God knows how long ago. So, they've really got some interesting people and talent on board for this. But just, wow. Anyway, that's all I will say.
Yeah. Again, you know, like, I think the show is great. It just might not be mine after a while.
Mm-hmm. The other night I asked people on Twitter for recommendations to watch a TV show, and swearing to myself that I would actually watch the first recommendation for a show that I hadn't seen before, which turned out to be the British Junior Baking Show.
Ah.
So it's a bunch of
fun.
It's a bunch of 10 to 13 year old kids baking cakes in a reality show environment that's incredibly low stakes.
There's apparently a new pottery one that is kind of wholesome like the Great British Baking Show, but it's about pottery.
Yeah, no, that sounds... I was not prepared for just how watchable and enjoyable it was, like, from moment one. And here's the thing. They have to do a technical challenge. Yeah. First is like an English Madeleine, which is just the grossest sounding English dessert ever. It's just basically like a Madeleine cake with jam and a maraschino cherry or cherry and like coconut sprinkles. Just the worst of English, you know, baking. Anyway, and then the next one was a cake based on their favorite subject at school. So there are all kinds of different sort of themed cakes. And even like the lesser efforts were way better than anything I could do. And we're really,
you know, I mean, that's why they're there, right?
Yeah, exactly. And here's the thing, at the like while they're being judged, like they're going back to their seats, and like the other kids are going, "You did really good. That was a beautiful cake." And at the end, I'm gonna spoil the twist at the end of the first episode for you. When they're, you know, they're saying who goes home. Nobody went home.
See, that's the thing. It's like some of these like newer like wholesome, like reality show stuff. It's just they're so good.
I know, but you know why nobody went home? Because everybody had baked such a good cake and made such a good effort that they couldn't send anybody home that day.
See, it's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Fantastic. And I was like, wow, this is exactly what my brain needs.
Yeah.
During these troubled times.
Yeah. I can see it.
So that's definitely my pick of the week.
Nice. Yeah, no, sorry. Speaking of troubled times, sorry, the reason we didn't have a show last week, of course, was because, you know, Oregon is on fire.
Yes.
And it is
and you're
much
there.
Better now.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
But we had a week where... Now, I don't know if you're familiar with air quality indexes.
In passing, yeah.
Okay. Just to run over it fairly quick. The scale goes from 0 to 500. And, like, 1 to 50 is... 0 to 50 is good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That just, you know, everyone can breathe. It's fantastic out.
Right.
51 to 100 is considered moderate. You're still fine.
Hmm.
You know, it might be... You probably live in a city.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Yeah.
For the record, like, Portland usually hovers somewhere between, like, 22 and, like, 60. Okay?
Fair enough.
101 to 150 is unhealthy for sensitive groups, which is... Everyone should kind of think about limiting stuff. Like, you shouldn't maybe go out for, like, run a marathon. But if you're a marathon runner, you're probably okay. If you're very old or very young or have, like, asthma, you should limit activities somewhat.
Right.
Okay. 151 to 200 is unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is everyone should limit their time outside. And breathing this stuff. 201 to 300. Notice it only takes this 100 jump. Is very unhealthy, which is, like, seriously, make other plans.
Gotcha.
Like, if you don't have to be outside, you should not be outside. And 301 to 500, and you see how these marks get bigger?
Yes.
Is hazardous. It means the air is literally toxic.
Yeesh.
Okay. So, the storms hit, and, the fire started... And right around the time the fire started, we also had a fairly historic wind event. In the valley, we get a lot of wind in the winter. And it's fine, right? We get, like, you know, 30 to 50 mile an hour gusts every now and then, like, certain days. And it's okay, usually, in the middle of the winter, because there are no leaves on the trees. When you get 30 to 50 mile an hour gusts and there are leaves on trees, things fall down. Just because, you know, the leaves grab the wind, right? And pull harder than if it could just go through branches.
Gotcha. Of course.
So, Sunday into Monday, a bunch of the town lost power for 3 or 4 days. The problem is the direction of that wind happened to start west of the fires. And it was an easterly wind. So it literally was pushing the fires at us. And fanning the flames fairly majorly.
Oof.
This turned into a thing where, you know, the evac zone, which felt kind of scary, ended about a mile from where I live.
Jesus.
The reason for that, of course, is they put the entire county next door under an evac zone.
Huh.
And just the county line is a mile from where I am. The actual fires were, like, you know, 20-odd miles away.
Still, yeah, I get you.
Now, when you have a large forest fire type of thing, a large fire event... what tends to happen is you get a large smoke plume, and it will form kind of a cap about 10,000 feet in the air over the fire, right? Where it just kind of sits. And it will usually drift around some, but it's hard to break up. And until you break it up, you just have terrible, terrible, dangerous air right where that fire is, right?
Gotcha.
because of that wind, that cap extended from the fires to roughly Seattle.
Hmm.
And the problem is it's hard to move because it's its own kind of swirling mass. So, like, a small storm literally bounces off of it.
Wow.
And wind will shift it a little bit, but you need, a constant sustained thing or a very big storm. So it was supposed to rain Tuesday, bounced off. What little rain there was. Etc. So this went on for days. And Thursday night, about 3 in the morning, there was about 3 in the morning. It started way earlier, closer to the fires, actually. There were huge thunderstorms that finally broke through that cap and cleared the air. So since, Friday morning or so, we've had breathable blue skies.
Christ.
But for a couple days there, we were pinned at about 540. Literally broke the chart.
Whoa. Yeah, but
we
beyond,
had the
beyond
worst
index?
Air on Earth.
Jeez.
And it's all this particulate matter, what's called PM 2.5. And that stuff is, you need, really high-quality filters for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because 2.5 refers to the size in microns of the particulate matter.
Okay.
The nice thing is, even if you have, because, filters have their own number ranges. So, a 2200 filter on, an HVAC system will deal with 2.5. I'm running, 1500s here right now, and they won't deal with it, technically. They'll still actually clean up some of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're ever in this situation, if you boost the humidity, it will participate some of it out, but also trap some of it in some of the humidity, which helps it stick to filters.
Gotcha.
That's been about a week, with my humidifiers running at full.
Yes.
I only had the one filter, so it's just slowly getting worse. And an air cleaner as well that I actually had more filters for. So I could change it out every couple days when I needed to. Windows all sealed tight, sealed up the one back door that is a little, drafty.
Mm-hmm.
So basically sealed up the house as best I could. Went outside to, move garbage cans, even though they weren't collecting garbage. They weren't sure, but they weren't, because you don't want to put drivers out in this for that long, right? But the walk to the end of my driveway pushing my, garbage carts, I had to come in and lay down. It takes a physical toll on you that you don't quite realize at first.
Right, of course.
I had a low-grade to moderate headache for, 7 days straight. My muscles ached. And, I realized, I work out every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, it's not that I don't think I, lost muscle mass or anything, but, my ability to do, say, push-ups was cut in a third. Oof. After a week of this. And, I really couldn't work out much at all during it, obviously, right? Because even indoors, the air was not great.
Right, of course.
Mm. The quickest comparison is that, roughly an hour at 400, mind you. We're not talking 520. We're talking only 400 here. Breathing outside in 400 air quality for about an hour is the equivalent of smoking 15 cigarettes in that hour.
Jesus Christ.
So there's, and this sounds dark, but it's true. There's a really good chance that almost everyone from Portland to Seattle had about 2 years knocked off their lives this week.
Oh, God.
It does, lasting permanent damage. Like I said, but it was just so interesting. Friday I woke up and, I could breathe and I could open windows. And it was great and I felt good. But, Saturday I realized that, my muscles didn't ache suddenly. I hadn't noticed it because it was just low grade enough that you don't quite notice it.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, it is really weird living where, literally you cannot breathe outside. It is legitimately hazardous. There was news reports of birds just falling from the sky dead.
Yes.
This is not what you want,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
This is not considered good. And that's part of why we didn't have a podcast last week, because I could talk, for stretches. I had, a few phone calls, and I was still doing my day job, which involves a lot of phone and a bunch of meetings. But, my throat hurt all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just from breathing.
Jesus.
Wow. Yeah.
It kind of gets scary. Like, I was actually starting to get a little nervous because I was like, okay, I have like an order of actually filters, like 2200 filters that I'll do with, you know, PM 2.5. Because they suddenly became impossible to find because everyone from California through Seattle, like the entire coast is trying to buy them right now, right?
Of course, yeah.
And so they became impossible to find, but like I had some on order that should actually get here next week, I think. Funnily enough. But like I was like, okay, my one current filter is not going to hold up to this much longer. Like it's already at its last legs. I don't know what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it completely gums up, like, I don't know what my options are anymore. Yeah. Like, it's just a scary place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And because, again, like, it's the entire coast. It's not like you can go anywhere.
Right.
You know, I mean, when the fires were, like, kind of maybe they might issue an evacuation for, like, the where I live, like, a level one, it was like, okay, well, there are people I can, you know, friends I can go stay with that are far enough away they won't be evacuated for the fires. But their air was still this bad. So yeah, it's a terrifying thing.
I can only imagine. That's the thing. You see news reports saying that the air quality index has gone like literally off the chart.
Oh yeah.
But it's hard to understand what that means.
And that thing is like it did it for like 2 days or so back in 2017.
Uh huh.
And it was bad, but it wasn't this bad because it was 2 days. Yeah. It's like 2 days of this. It's like you stay indoors, you're okay. It kind of sucks, but like 7 or 8 days of it, like seriously, like I said, like because I do work out every day, so I know about like what my body can take. Like I've lost like a step and a half.
Jeez.
From where I was like 9, 10 days ago, just because it physically fucks you up for good. Like you have to rebuild stuff because it damages your muscles. It damages your lungs. Like. You're sliding backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, realistically, over the next year, you know, once the fire season is over and everything, like I guarantee you, the entire West Coast is going to be stocking up on this stuff. Because if I had a cache of these specific filters, which would deal with this, it would have been a whole different story inside.
Right.
You know, it probably would have been, like, half again as bad. And, like, the air quality in here would have been, like, moderate. Instead of, I'm pretty sure it was unhealthy for 8 days. But it was only unhealthy. Like, when it first dropped from, like, you know, hazardous to just very unhealthy, like, everyone I know on Twitter was just, like, celebrating. Like, and we were all like, this is the worst thing to ever celebrate, right? Like, our air is only very unhealthy. It's just...
Congratulations.
God. And if you want a weird capitalist take on how bad it was, let me tell you, the mail was still being delivered. And no one expected that, frankly.
Jeez.
Everything else, like delivery-wise, like, you know, like Amazon deliveries that had just been made beforehand. Because, you know, no one was really trying to order anything that wasn't like an air filter.
Right.
Because you don't want to force people to go outside. It's just cruelty. But like Amazon, like, you know, Amazon Prime stuff, which is like 2 days and all this, they just stopped delivering.
Wow.
Like, Amazon Prime out here is like, yes, we'll get that to you next week, even now, because they're backed up by over a week.
Jeez.
And that's fine. Like, happy to be patient to not make people die to get you a thing.
Right.
But it is also just the, oh god, this is enough for Amazon to be like, nope. You know, for like UPS and FedEx to be like, maybe? We'll see. We don't know. Yeah, it's like just the real world example of it is just like, oh, that's frightening. Like I said, like the garbage, because they were so backed up by a week, they essentially gave up. Like they stopped picking up the Monday morning stuff. So like people who put their garbage cans out tonight on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you always put it out the night before. This last week did not exist for garbage collection here. Which is fine. You know, again, like there's knock on effects because I have stuff that I'd like to put in and they're full. But again, it's not a big deal. It's just that real world example of exactly how terrifying this is. You know, like the government closed down. The city shut down because people couldn't go to work.
Oof.
I mean, you know, there were some places that of course still had people going to work because they're terrible or essential, I guess, but like, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
you know, N95 masks are actually built for PM2.5, but they're one use only, and you're not supposed to use them in this sort of condition for more than like 3 or 4 hours.
Right. So you just be going through them at a clip, yeah. And nobody who has that many masks, right?
Right. Like outside of like a hospital, which again, because of the fucking pandemic, which is still also going on.
Right.
But again, like I had friends who, because they lost power, but like you can't have people working the lines much when so like there are people who were still without power for part of this. It was just this stacking of absolutely terrible events.
Right.
That doesn't happen, you know, often. Like it was a one time that this would be that bad. But I mean, you know, I'm sure we'll find something new to stack, but
yeah.
it was scary. You know, there are a bunch of people who, like, the county was even putting out, like, the, no, it is normal to be, like, freaked out and anxious and all this. Like, here's some mental health note, like, numbers to call.
Oh, Jesus.
Because this fucks with you.
Yes.
You know, I mean, especially when you're like, well, there's a pandemic, so I shouldn't see people, but I can still go outside, go for a walk. No, now you're just literally locked indoors.
Yeah.
But it's slowly getting worse in place where you are. Like, it fucks with your head.
Christ. Well, I knew.
So that's
been
my last week.
Yeah, I knew things were particularly bad when, I think I told you, Wednesday of the last week, I got up and walked to work, and I realized that the sun was like this blotted out orange coin in the sky, and I was like, why? And then my weather alert said, look out, air quality is diminished because of the Oregon wildfires.
Yeah,
and I was like, you are literally like 1,100 miles from me.
Oh, you know, it hit the entire country here. Like every state has had like smoke problems.
Yeah.
But again, like we're sitting next to it.
Yeah.
Luckily, those storms, because there was a risk, because it was thunderstorms, of a lightning strike starting another fire.
Mm.
So it's one of these like the thunderstorm will save our air. Also, it could make this all way worse again.
Right.
We got lucky.
Right.
Like, the fires were supposed to be, like, 10% contained by now, and, because, I mean, contained and out are very different concepts. Like, you know, the fires probably won't be out till the end of October, but they're not going to be spewing this much up, because if they're still smoldering even a little bit, they can't be considered out.
Mm-hmm.
But they're already at, like, 20-25% contained. Like, the thunderstorms actually hit us perfectly.
Well, thank God. Small favors, yeah.
Right. But, yeah. It was a scary kind of week.
Whew. Man, oh man.
So that happened. But, yeah.
Good
times.
I'm glad to hear that the air quality has recovered somewhat.
Oh, not even somewhat. Like, it's doing its normal thing of, like, during the afternoons, it hits, like, 60 or so. And overnight and all that, like, it's, like, the low 20s. And it's even when it's, like, a little chilly out, I'm like, no, everyone I know is just like, nope, opening windows. Like, we're just like, fuck this, we want air. we're not taking that shit for granted for a while.
The air is full of bees. Oh, fuck it. We want air. Oh,
yeah.
Man. Whew. Sorry, that was a journey, just listening to your description.
I, you know. Sorry?
Did you watch anything else good while you were stuck inside,
so,
fearing for your life?
Weirdly, I watched a bunch of stuff because I couldn't, like, all my freelance stuff, and thankfully everyone understood, because all the people I owe freelance stuff to are either in Oregon, and let me tell you, they understood. or they just, you know, were like, oh, no, we get it. Like, it's all good. So, you know, that worked out for me. But it does mean that, like, I'm trying to catch up now. But I ended up rewatching stuff, and I ended up with this weird thing that I didn't realize until, like, the third series, that there are three shows that I end up, like, if I watch the first one, and for some reason, like, if I try to watch the other two, I have to end up starting at the certain point,
mm-hmm.
where I watch these three shows just back to back to back, and they're each, like, two seasons long. They only have, like, you know, 10 to 16 episodes a season, so it's they're all half hours.
Right, so it's not a huge commitment.
It's very quick.
Yeah.
Right. You know, you could do this in, like, 8 days if you're not doing anything else because you're just kind of, like, sitting in a chair being like, you know, it's fine. But, so weirdly, It's Whitney.
Uh-huh.
Because, I don't know. It's not a great show. And again, like, Chris DeBella can go to hell, but I didn't know any of that when I started watching the show, so it's kind of grand. Like, it's like watching a Lethal Weapon movie, right? Like,
it's grandfather.
Fuck Mel Gibson, but I'll still, right.
Yeah.
But, like, Whitney was one of those weird sitcoms. I don't know if you ever saw it. That was just, like...
I saw a few episodes.
It hit me in the right way of a lot of sitcoms in the 90s were all like, these are terrible people. And Whitney is very much like, these are terrible people. And, you know, their relationship is built on the fact that they're both sarcastic and kind of mean.
Yeah.
But in a weirdly, like, loving way. And it just hits me, like, in that right way.
Mm-hmm. I get you.
So I end up watching Whitney. And then I end up watching Undateable.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because it has, and like the last few episodes bring Whitney Cummings in. And I still say, like, that third live season is terrible in terms of, like, actual coherent show.
But a
because
hell
they're
of
so
a lot
busy breaking the third. But it's so much fun to watch, right?
Yeah, totally.
Again, like, it is legitimately kind of terrible in terms of, like, watching a show for a plot because they just forget what they're doing. They break the fourth wall without realizing it sometimes. They're just, it is priceless. For kind of all the wrong reasons. But it still amuses me. And then I end up watching Ground Floor.
Oh, okay.
And the joke there for me is, okay, Ground Floor was actually picked up at the same time as Undateable.
Oh.
And it's why Briga Hayden's character in Undateable leaves so quick.
Okay.
Because she was allowed to do a couple episodes of Undateable. And there were cast members from Undateable that show up, and vice versa, kind of quietly between the shows once or twice, because, you know, one was exec produced by Bill Lawrence, and the other was co-created by Bill Lawrence.
Right.
And I think that's why they tie in. Like, they're both very similar shows in tone, just in that, like... We have a main relationship that's built of, like, this guy who's kind of nerdy and kind of scrawny, but he likes to sing. Like, weirdly, that carries through.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it carries through, except Bill Lawrence, I guess.
Exactly.
But Ground Floor also has John C. McGinley.
Oh, cool.
In a really fun role. Like, you know, he's the boss, and he's this mean boss and all this, but secretly he's a big softy.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get to see him play with his big softy side, which you don't get very often.
I could go for that.
It's a fun show. Like, if you can find it somewhere, it's worth watching. Again, there's only, like, 20 episodes. But it is that kind of cute, quiet Bill Lawrence show. But just because of the ties between the three, I always end up watching all three of them in a row. Like, I can't separate them anymore.
Right. It's just one show to you.
Right, like, I meant to just be like, I'm just gonna just re... Like, I watched an episode, like, the first episode of Whitney, because I didn't know what I wanted to watch. I was like, well, I might as well watch another, and I was like, fuck, okay. I'll just keep watching Whitney, it's not that long, and I finished Whitney, I'm like, what should I rewatch? I'm like, maybe I should rewatch Young Justice, because I haven't rewatched it. Like, I watched the third season without watching season one or two again.
Right.
And I've never rewatched the third season. I'm like, let me do this. And I was like, but first... And started watching Undateable. And I was like, you know, I really should rewatch Young Justice. But first,
watch Ground Floor.
So, like, you know, I think today, tomorrow, I'm going to restart Young Justice because I'll finally be done with Ground Floor.
Nice. Yeah, that Young Justice is actually worth rewatching. I've done it just for the sort of the shifts it takes between seasons, and even actually within the seasons, it'll pull some character hair turns and do all kinds of things.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And there's still, like, bits near the end of season two, I want to say. There's that big kind of reveal episode that is still one of the most amazing bits of storytelling they've done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the whole, like, oh no, Aqualad is trapped and the light is everywhere. That's like, nope.
That's tough.
And again, like, the fight choreography is great. Like, it's such a good show.
It is.
I'm so glad we are getting a fourth season.
Oh, me too. Phantoms, apparently, is what this one is going to be called. I don't know what storyline they're going to be using for...
No, I think it has to be a new one, right? Because they kind of dealt with everything, finally.
Yeah.
Sort of... So maybe it'd be Phantom Zone stuff.
Was there... was it the end of the third season? They sort of winked at the Legion of from the 31st century. Yeah, okay.
Which is why I think they'll do Phantom Zone stuff, because traditionally with the Legion, Mon-El shows up in the present and then ends up in the Phantom Zone for 1,000 years, and then shows up in the Legion. So that is a gateway for them to kind of turn that around. But I also do wonder if it'll also just deal with dead people, because then we can get Wally around.
Oh, maybe.
So who knows? But I'm here for it.
Exactly. We shall see. Well, I watched Breaking Bad. I'm doing a rewatch of Breaking Bad. And for reasons that... I think I do know why. I started in season 5. So I started in the beginning of season 5 and then watched that, and now I'm going back to the beginning.
Yeah.
And I think I started at season 5 because the show gets really different in the last season. Because everything like up to the end of season 4 Walter White, building his empire and knocking away all of his sort of competition, right? He's just sort of losing his soul in the process. And they could have ended the show at the end of season 4 when he's removed his last major obstacle and become the sort of monster that you've always known he can become.
Right.
But I liked season 5 because it seems to take place. It sort of says, well, what happens after that? What happens when all of the obstructions to White's monstrosity are removed, and then he just has to sort of build on his own without these sort of obstructions.
Also known as the thing Weeds tried and failed at.
Yes, absolutely.
Nothing against Weeds. I didn't mean to just like slap it around there, but let's be honest.
Yes, I think I stopped watching Weeds towards the end because it just there was no drama left anymore. It was inert and not very good.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. I don't know. Once they had the episode. I think the last thing I remember is the episode where the brother is catering a porn shoot and ends up like starring in a bunch of like toe sex porns. I don't know. Anyway, and I was like, that's funny. And then I kind of, after that, I'm like, I don't know where the show's going to go after this. So I think I just drifted away. But anyway, watching this sort of strange sort of afterlife of Breaking Bad, which produced some of its best moments. I mean, it has the episode Ozymandias and so on. Good old Rian Johnson episode. And midway through, of course, you get that moment when his brother-in-law from the, his DEA brother-in-law figures it out. And then you realize that, the writing is on the wall. Like it's basically a countdown has begun. And you have to watch Walter White squirm and scheme his way out of the inevitable, which is fantastic. Yeah, I think that's it. I think, and sometimes they go and they basically, it feels like parts of season 5 they're basically reciting sort of the writer's notes about the characters out loud, because they're sort of summing everything up, and there's this sort of great moment when Hank and Agent Gomez have corralled Jesse into trying to take Walt down and says, okay, you're going to meet him here, out in the open. And he's like, well, what if he's trying to kill me? He's like, he can't kill you there. And Jesse just says, you don't understand. Whatever you think is going to happen is the opposite of what's going to happen. And it sort of reveals the main character note about Walter White, which is that he's sort of charmed. Right. There's nothing can really touch him, but everything else around him gets destroyed. Like everything bounces off him and hits other people. And that's the essential character of Walter White. I guess white male privilege in action. I don't know. But anyway, great fun watching. And I've just gone back to episode 1 and I'm sort of sort of nice. getting in from the beginning. So yeah, that is my other pick of the week. It's sweet. Fun. Yeah, very sweet. And I think that's probably all my rewatching stuff. I'm keeping up with Raised by Wolves, which, you know, I'm never sure at any moment how much I'm enjoying it, but I do enjoy the kind of the overall. I'm just starved for, like, you know, high concept science fiction on my television set. So,
well, so I realized Raised by Wolves
fulfills that.
That there was something airing, that I don't think either one of us actually realized was airing.
Well, what's that?
Two episodes of Archer season 11 have aired already.
Oh, I saw that. I didn't realize it had started, but I saw somebody on Twitter saying, "Hey, Archer started." I was like, "What?"
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, like I just saw some notice that was like, you know, this week is like Wednesday is episode 3, and I was like, "What?"
How is that?
There's other episodes. sorry, I have to try to dig those up because I'm curious.
Yeah. Oh, it's also
supposed to be their last
on Crave, which is our sort of our HBO Crave. Showtime carrier in Canada. They've like Sailor Moon, like all the original Sailor Moon seasons have like shown up, which nice. Is kind of cool. So I watched the first episode ever of Sailor Moon. I was sort of hoping it would be subtitled, but it's dubbed. So I don't know. That's fine. But it's just as ridiculous and charming, as I recalled.
Right.
And just seeing like all these sort of like I'm just watching it. I'm like, wow, like She-Ra would not exist without Sailor Moon, for example, or She-Ra as, you know, the modern She-Ra. And so on.
Oh yeah,
and so forth.
No, there's a lot of things that like Sailor Moon kind of opened the door for.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you know, Gatchaman did the same.
Mm-hmm.
But in a different way. Like the Gatchaman thing really was the that, like, you know, the same guy came up with the entire concept of that kind of 5-person team.
Right.
So.
Yeah, which has been done and redone.
Oh yeah.
In watermelon sugar.
So. Anyway.
But anyway, lots of fun. Sailor Moon was. I don't feel the need to, you know, go further with my Sailor Moon journey because I remember seeing it way back when. I was dating a girl who loved watching Sailor Moon after university classes. So I saw more Sailor Moon than I ever thought I would or wanted to.
Sure. I get it.
Here's my cat.
Yeah, it's you know, again, like, I have no problem with Sailor Moon. It's just, it's one of those things.
It is one of those things.
Sometimes you just don't, you know, need all of it.
Mm-hmm. This is true. But yeah, but no, like, She-Ra and, you know, Steven Universe, all these things owe a great debt to Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently we're just both brain dead right now.
So have you found more information on Archer?
No, just that the two episodes have aired and it airs Wednesdays.
Oh, okay. Well, that's might as well actually go ahead and watch that.
And then again, it's supposed to be their last season.
Really? Finally?
Yeah.
I mean, not that I'm like finally, but it just seemed. But Archer seemed to be one of these shows that would. I never knew if it was getting another season, and I was never, you know, I was never looking it up to say, hey, I wonder if we're getting more Archer.
Right.
Oh, well, I was going to say AV Club says gave it an A- for the season premiere.
Okay.
So there you go. I think, it says exactly one half of a great season premiere, so maybe they're doing their patented complaining about stuff even as they praise it thing.
Right.
They gave the next episode a B minus because just it's the AV Club. They absolutely cannot praise something without finding a way to complain about it.
What do you expect? I mean, that really is just I expect from them. Anyway, yeah.
we have hit the hour mark, it looks like.
Oh, so we have. So we damn well have. All right, well, we should play some music and stop being distracted and go, I don't know, nap, have lunch,
let's,
do the thing.
Let's nap. Let's have lunch and nap in our respective homes.
There you go. Same time.
Same time.
But first, we'll cue some music. Yay, woo!
Woo, woo!